Okay, it's good to be back again. Last week we started discussing issues of Sfiras HaOmer. Tonight's shiur is a chiddush that I wanted to share with you that is not my own chiddush. I saw this in two different places, or heard it in one place and saw it in another. I heard this chiddush from Rav Yonason Sacks about 10 years ago. I believe Rav Yonason Sacks was here as one of the Beis Medrash lecturers. I heard it from him about 10 years ago, and I later saw it printed in Minchas Asher by Rav Asher Weiss, came out word for word. So I don't know who took it from who. I know that Rav Sacks and Rav Asher are extremely close with each other, so maybe they collaborated on this shiur. But this is a chiddush that I saw from both of those great, great Talmidei Chachamim, and I wanted to share with you about Sfiras HaOmer. And the structure of the shiur tonight is going to be as follows. We're going to say an idea that may be obvious to many of you, but wasn't always obvious to me, and maybe not even obvious to all the Rishonim, about Sfiras HaOmer, about what the nature of the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is. And then I'm going to point out that there are four ways that Sfiras HaOmer is different than other mitzvahs that you would think it would be comparable to. Meaning, Sfiras HaOmer is a mitzvah that's unique in that there is no real action that you do, it's just dibur, it's just with words alone, one is mekayim the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. There are other mitzvahs like that. For example, other mitzvahs like that would include Birchas HaMazon, Kriyas Shema, Tefillah. There are plenty of other mitzvahs that we do, Kiddush, that we do with dibur alone, that we could do just with words alone. But there are four differences between Sfiras HaOmer and every other mitzvah of dibur alone. And then what we're going to try to do at the end is demonstrate why this one chiddush that we say at the beginning, this one insight into the nature of Sfiras HaOmer, might explain all four differences between Sfiras HaOmer and other comparable mitzvahs. So let's start with a theme we began to really explore a little bit last week. We mentioned last week that when the Torah, and it's really a chiddush of Tosos, Masechta Sukkah, and the Gra elaborates on this chiddush, that the Torah sometimes speaks to us in the singular and sometimes speaks to us in the plural. The Torah, for instance, we mentioned last week, will tell us by the Isser of Baal Tosif, Lo sosif, do not add, and the Torah will also say, lo tosifu, that you should not add in the plural, that we in the plural should not add any mitzvos to the Torah. And we pointed out that when the Torah speaks in the singular, typically speaking, the Torah is talking to Klal Yisrael as a unit. It's not speaking to me as an individual. It's a little counterintuitive. You think if it's talking in the singular, it's about the individual. But that's not the case. When it's talking in the singular, it's talking about the entire unit of Klal Yisrael, or talking to, addressing the entire unit of Klal Yisrael. When the Torah talks in the plural, it's talking to each and every individual who has their own requirement in that mitzvah. So given that Sfiras HaOmer is mentioned, as we pointed out last week, twice in the Torah, once in the singular, once in the plural, it leads you to believe, to at least get confused about whose mitzvah is this exactly. Meaning, if we would have stopped at the Chumash, and the Gemara never would have addressed the issue of who does the mitzvah, and you just had to read the Chumash, it's a really fascinating exercise. If you ever want to really figure out why it is that we need Torah Shebaal Peh so badly, try to read the Chumash and figure out our religion based on the Chumash. It's almost impossible. It's very, very, without knowing how to decode the Chumash, it's very, very difficult. Who's supposed to be doing this Sfira? Who's supposed to be doing this counting? It's not clear at all in the Chumash who's supposed to be doing the counting. The Gemara addresses it, but we have many mitzvos of counting, and even when it comes to mitzvos of counting, there's no consistency in terms of who does the mitzvah, in terms of even how the mitzvah is done. I believe we pointed this out last week as well, that, for example, there's a mitzvah to count the years of Yovel. We just read about in this past week's parasha. The mitzvah to count the 50 years up to the 49 years to the 50th year, which is the Yovel year. So the Ramban in his commentary on Chumash is not really sure that there's a mitzvah to actually count. There's a mitzvah to make sure that you know, but not necessarily to actually say Hashana Shana Rishona Liyovel, and next Rosh Hashana say Bracha Asher Kesham Tzosef Vitzivanu L'Spor Sayovel, or Al Sfira Sayovel, and then say Hashana Shana Shnia Liyovel. Ramban's not convinced that there's any such mitzvah. It just means, remember, so if the year is the year 2014 and it's a Yovel year, so then in the year 2064 you'll remember that it's going to be a Yovel year. You don't have to go through the exercise of counting each and every year. Tosos and Maseches Ksuvis and Tosos and Maseches Menachos don't agree. They think that there definitely must have been a real mitzvah to count the Yovel. Now, whose job is that? Whose mitzvah is it to count the Yovel? A person is going to count Yovel now. Let's say you count the first year. Let's say, for argument's sake, Tavshinayin Dalid was the first year of a Yovel cycle. So what? I'm going to take on the responsibility myself to count the Yovel years. So I'm going to count the first year. Do I even know if I'll be here in the end to count the rest of the years? I hope so. But we don't know. 50 years is a long... A lot can happen in 50 years from what I'm told. I haven't seen 50 years yet, but a lot can happen in 50 years from what I'm told. So we don't know where we're going to be in 50 years. It's a mitzvah on us. No, but one thing we do know. We know that Klal Yisrael is going to be here in 50 years, because there's never been 50 years without Klal Yisrael since the formation of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is definitely going to be here in 50 years. So the mitzvah of counting Yovel, the Balei Tosfos understand, is a real mitzvah of counting, and you got to see it through from beginning to end. But it's not a mitzvah on me, it's a mitzvah on the Beis Din. It's not a mitzvah on any individual, it's a mitzvah on Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael is represented by the Sanhedrin. Klal Yisrael is represented by the Beis Din HaGadol in Yerushalayim. They are the representatives of Klal Yisrael. They do this mitzvah of counting the Yovel. So that's when it comes to the counting Yovel. We mentioned that there's another mitzvah of counting. When a person becomes a Zav or a Zava, and they have to count 7 clean days. A woman, based on Torah law, Nida is different than Zava. If a woman becomes a Zava, bleeds for 3 days in a row during a specific time where she's not expecting to bleed, she has to count 7 clean days. So how do you go about counting those 7 clean days? So Tosfos in Maseches Ksubos writes, he says, I don't understand. Why is it that we never heard of a woman making a bracha, Asher Kiddushan Sosav Tzivanu, Al Sfiras Yimei Ziva? She never makes a bracha on that counting. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. She's got to count 7 clean days. Why is there no bracha? So Tosfos says, well, the reason there's no bracha is because you never know if you're going to make it to the end. Meaning, you wouldn't make a bracha if you don't know if you're going to be able to see the mitzvah through all the way to the end. The poskim discuss, for example, let's say when it comes to the mitzvah of Sfira Sa'omer, a person doesn't think, the doctors tell him at the beginning of Sfira that you have Rachman al-Etzlan, you have 2 weeks to live. So should the person start counting with a bracha? He doesn't know that he's going to make it, that he's necessarily going to make it to the end. If you don't know that, you're going to be able to see the mitzvah through. So the truth is, that's a bit of a different case, because it's not going to be his problem if he's not here anymore. But if you have a case where a person will be here, but something may come up where they're just not going to be able to see it through, they're not going to make it to the end. So Tosfos says, for example, a Zava, she's counting 7 clean days, but she could bleed on any one of those days and then have to start counting all over again. So you can't make a bracha on a mitzvah like that. The Rashba writes in a tshuva, there's a famous tshuva of Rashba in Chelek Aleph Simen Yud Ches, where someone asked the Rashba a very basic, sounds like a very, very basic question. Someone asked the Rashba, explain to me, why is it that some mitzvos we say a bracha on, and some mitzvos we don't say a bracha on? Why would we say a bracha on some mitzvos, not others? There are mitzvos that we don't say a bracha on. Many, many mitzvos we do say a bracha, many others that we don't. For example, we don't say a bracha on the mitzvah of tzedakah. Why not? We don't say a bracha on nichum avelim. We say ahamacha minachim, but that's the actual mitzvah. That's offering words of nechama. But we don't say a bracha. We don't say a bracha on the mitzvah of bikur cholim. Why don't we say brachos on all these mitzvahs? Yet we do say a bracha on lulav, on matzah, on maror, on sukkah. We say a bracha on all sorts of other mitzvahs, on tefillin, on tzitzis. So why is it some mitzvahs get a bracha, some mitzvahs? What's the rule? Is there one rule? So the Rashba says the first rule is that there is no one rule. There are like 5 rules. So you need to know there are a whole bunch of reasons why you might not say a bracha on a given mitzvah. But one of the rules that the Rashba says is that if it's a mitzvah that you're not going to be able to see it through to the end, where it's not toloi biyad ha'osa, it's not completely dependent on you to be able to accomplish that mitzvah, well then you can't say a bracha, because you don't know that you're actually going to be able to do the mitzvah. How could you say a bracha and then have someone else who you're depending on in order to be able to complete the mitzvah? You're not going to be able to say a bracha on such a mitzvah. There's a machlokes rishonim, for example, when it comes to getting married. Birchas Erisin, there's a bracha that we say when we get married, Birchas Erisin. So there's machlokes rishonim whether that's a birchas hamitzvah or a birchas shevach v'hodah. But let's assume for a moment that it's a birchas hamitzvah. So there's a machlokas, when should you say the bracha? It's a birchas hamitzvah. So some rishonim say, well, Rambam writes, for example, you say the bracha right before you do the mitzvah. the mitzvah is to give the girl a ring, say, Hareya Mekadesh Libitva, so Kadash Moshe Yisrael, give her the ring in front of two kosher Eidim, who are not related to you or each other, and good, and then you're married, Mekadesh, so it's wonderful. So you say a bracha before you do the mitzvah, just like you say a bracha before you do any other mitzvah, says the Rambam. So the Ravid says, no, not so fast. Because what's going to happen if you say a bracha, then you're about to give her the ring, and then she goes, oh my gosh, I can't do this, and runs away. So now what's going to be? You can pull someone else out of the crowd. I mean, you already said the bracha. How are you going to? It's not up to you to finish the mitzvah. And if it's not up to you to finish the mitzvah, so then you can't say the bracha before. So the Ravid somewhat curiously says, you still say the bracha, but you say it after for that reason. But the Rashba says that if you can't finish a mitzvah, not dealing with Birchas Erusin, but dealing with in general, if you can't finish a mitzvah, you don't know that you have control over the mitzvah, then you can't say a bracha on the mitzvah. That's the comment that Tosfos is probably alluding to, and Tosfos says that a woman is counting Shivanakim, can't say a bracha on the mitzvah of counting Shivanakim, even though it is a mitzvah. It is a mitzvah to count, but she can't say a bracha on the counting. Tosfos, however, writes that he doesn't just say she can't say a bracha. At the end of the Tosfos and Maseches Chesubos, he says, therefore, ein la limnos. If you look at the end of source number 4, you don't have to believe me that it's there. We're not going to read all these sources inside, but just to let you know, I'm not making stuff up. I put it here. But at the end of source number 4, ein la limnos, he says, because of this, because she's not in control of the situation, so she shouldn't count at all. Makes it sound like she shouldn't count at all, not just that she shouldn't say a bracha. So you have all of these mitzvos about counting, and it's not clear who does the mitzvah, if it's even a mitzvah that you have to do, whether there's a bracha on the mitzvah. If you were to just open up a chumash and try to figure out, what does God want from us with the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer? Am I supposed to do it? Is Beis Din supposed to do it? It's not so clear from the Torah itself. And in fact, it's not even all that clear from the Midrashim. The Gemara has a comment in Maseches Menachos that you need Sfira L'Kol Echad Ve'Echad, that every single person has to count the Omer. Good, so we know that it's certainly not just a mitzvah on the Beis Din, that we also have a mitzvah, each and every one of us, to count the Omer. But the as we pointed out before, Sfiras HaOmer is mentioned both in the singular and in the plural in the Torah. And whenever the Torah talks in the plural, that's l'kol echad ve'echad, svartem lachem, that's for each and every one of us. But whenever it talks in the singular, that's a mitzvah, typically, that's only on the Beis Din. Shiva Shavuos Tisbar Lach, that's on the Beis Din, that's a singular, or it sounds like it's on the Beis Din. In fact, there are two versions of a Medrash. The Sifri in Devarim writes in source number 10, Shiva Shavuos Tisbar Lach B'Beis Din, that's a mitzvah on the Beis Din. Minayin L'Kol Echad Ve'Echad, how do I know that it's for everybody? Tam Lomer Sfartam Lachem. That's why it says it in the plural as well, to tell me that it's a mitzvah for everybody. The Gra changes the Girsa a little bit in the Sifri, and the Gra writes that the Girsa should be Shiva Shavuos Tisbar Lach Yachal B'Beis Din. You might think it's a mitzvah on the Beis Din. That's why Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, Usfartam Lachem, that it's a mitzvah on Kol Echad Ve'Echad. Whether you have our Girsa or whether you have the Gra's Girsa in the Sifri, there's at least reason to believe that the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, there's at least a Hava Amina. There was at least a fleeting thought in our minds that the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is a mitzvah on the Beis Din and not a mitzvah on us. Where would we get that idea? Why would we get that idea? I mean, granted, the Torah says it in the singular, so it's to the Beis Din. But why? Why would the Beis Din have to count the Omer? Does the Beis Din eat my matzah? Does the Beis Din have a mitzvah of Beis Din sitting in sukkah? Yeah, they have a mitzvah because as individuals to sit in sukkah, but not as representatives of the Jewish people. It would be wonderful if they could do that for all the mitzvahs. If I'm not in the mood to put on tefillin one day, let Beis Din as representatives of Klal Yisrael put on tefillin, and everyone will be yotzei the mitzvah. But it doesn't work that way in Judaism. When does Beis Din get to do things? So Beis Din only gets to do things when it's like a national kind of mitzvah, when it's something like setting up when Rosh Chodesh is going to be, setting up when Yontif is going to be, adding to the city of Yerushalayim, figuring out the borders of Yerushalayim, making Piskei Halacha to determine and grant Kedusha to the areas of the Beis HaMikdash. Now those are national issues. So that's dealt with by the highest court in the land. But why is Sfiras HaOmer something that we would even have a Hava Amina that it would be dealt with by Beis Din? That's like saying, I would think that matzah is not really my mitzvah. Matzah is a mitzvah on the Beis Din. Oh, so the pasuk tells me, no, matzah is for everybody. You're all supposed to eat. Of course we're all supposed to eat matzah. Why would we ever think otherwise? And yet, according to one version of the Sifri, it's at least a Hava Amina. According to the other version, it's really true that there's a mitzvah on the Beis Din. So the one simple chiddush I want to start with is that apparently the reason the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, Rav Shechter writes this in the Sefer Eretz HaTzvi, the reason the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is a mitzvah on the Beis Din is because Sfiras HaOmer is not like matzah, it's not like sukkahs, it's not like any of the regular individual mitzvahs. Because those mitzvahs are about doing a specific action that God wants me to do, and I get the mitzvah. It's not about accomplishing something nationally. Sfiras HaOmer does accomplish something for the nation. What does it accomplish? It determines when the Yom Tov of Shavuos is. The Gemara in today's Daf Yomi actually says, in Rosh Hashanah Daf Vav, the Gemara says, what's the date of the Yom Tov of Shavuos? So the Gemara says, unbelievable, ask it as a trivia question, Gemara says, there is no date for the Yom Tov of Shavuos. It could fall out on Hey Sivan, it could fall out on Vav Sivan, it could fall out on Zayin Sivan. There's no date for the Yom Tov of Shavuos. It's, how do we determine then when the Yom Tov Shavuos is? Well, very simple. We start on the second day of Pesach, and we count. And when we get to day 50, that's when Shavuos is. Now, depending whether Nisan and Iyar have 29 or 30 days, it could be on Hey Sivan, Vav Sivan, or Zayin Sivan. But there is no date for it. So what it turns out is that Sfiras HaOmer is not just a mitzvah. It's not just like I eat matzah, so I got a mitzvah. Sfiras HaOmer actually determines a yantif. That has to do with all of Klal Yisrael. I'm not authorized to determine a yantif. The Beis Din, on behalf of Klal Yisrael, can determine a yantif. That is the reason the Medrash had such a Hava Amina, or maybe even a Maskana, that Sfiras HaOmer is done by the Beis Din. Great, so that's the yesod about Sfiras HaOmer, that it's supposed to be done by the Beis Din, or at least there's a Hava Amina supposed to be done by the Beis Din, because of this power of this mitzvah, that it is Koveya the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Now what I want to show you is that Sfiras HaOmer, when you compare it to other mitzvahs of Dibur, is different in four fundamental ways. By all mitzvahs, there is a discussion, very broad discussion, whether mitzvahs require kavana or not. Mitzvahs tzrichas kavana or mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana. If there's a lulav sitting on this table, on this bima, on sukkahs, and you want the lulav, it's a dalmium, lulav and esrog, and you say, can you pass me the lulav and esrog? So I pick it up to pass it to you, and then I realize afterwards, hey, look at that, I just picked up a lulav and esrog. Did I get the mitzvah when I picked it up to pass it to you? I wasn't even thinking for a moment that I was trying to get the mitzvah. I'm just trying to do, I was doing the mitzvah of doing you a favor. I wasn't doing the mitzvah of lulav and esrog. I wasn't thinking about the mitzvah of lulav and esrog. Do I get the mitzvah of lulav and esrog? Well, if you hold mitzvah's tzrichos kavana, I didn't get the mitzvah, because you need kavana. Kavana is a very important part of the mitzvah. You need intent to fulfill the mitzvah. If you hold mitzvah's ain't tzrichos kavana, great, so I did the mitzvah, because kavana doesn't matter as long as I did the mitzvah, as long as I did the action. There's a broad machlokas in all of Shas, where the mitzvah srichas kavana, in all mitzvahs, or mitzvahs ain't srichas kavana. So how do we generally paskin? So it's interesting. First, before we could say how we paskin, we have to define the term kavana a little bit. I remember when I was in my first year in Keren Biavne, I was lucky enough to have an older chavrusa, who is now a rav and a head of school in Atlanta, Georgia. And on Thursday nights, we had an Achronim Seder. One of his rebbe said that it's a good idea, you're learning Gemara and Rishonim all day, you should open up an Achron on a late Thursday night when, you know, the whole regular week's learning is over, and just open up a Sefer of an Achron so you see how the Achronim think. So, okay, so we opened up, the first week we opened up a Sefer Shev Shmeitza, because it was an Achron, so we didn't know what difference between any of them. So we opened up the Shev Shmeitza, and we started reading a few pages, and he read, and I read, and he read, and I read, and then at some point we looked at each other and said, did you understand anything we just read? And I said, no, and he said, did you understand? No? Okay, so maybe this isn't the Achron for us. So we went back to the shelf, and we pulled off the shelf Chidushe Rabbeinu Chaim Halevi. And it was like the sun shone on us. It was unbelievable. The clarity of Reb Chaim. Everything just fits so beautifully. Everything was so wonderful. And we came across this piece, the second piece in the Sefer of Chidushei Rabbeinu Chaim Halevi, where Reb Chaim discusses the concept of kavana by tefillah. Do you have to have kavana for the mitzvah of tefillah when you daven? So it's funny because the Rambam says that yes, you need to have kavana for tefillah, and if you don't have kavana for tefillah, you're not yotzei. The reason that's funny is because the Rambam also says, don't worry, if you don't have kavana for tefillah, you're yotzei. Meaning the Rambam says two different things in two different places. In one place, the Rambam says it's a stira in the Rambam, perek dalet of hilchas tefillah and perek yud of hilchas tefillah. Again, you could all the makoros are here. We're not going to read them all carefully inside. But actually, this one is kedai to see. If you look in source number 11 on page 4, if you look in source number 11, the Rambam says, kavana salev ketzad, perek dalet of hilchas tefillah. He says, how do you do kavana? Kol tefillah she'ina bekavana ina tefillah. Any tefillah that doesn't have kavana, it's not a tefillah. It doesn't count at all. V'mispalo below kavana, chozer mispalo b'kavana. If you finish monasre and then you realize that you're thinking about, you're off in a different world somewhere, and you're like, hey, how did I get here? I'm all the way at the end of monasre. Last thing I remember, I was taking my three steps back at the beginning, and I don't remember anything in between. You realize that you completely spaced out the entire time. You were on autopilot. You didn't say you didn't have any kavana. Says the Rambam, daven again, and this time do it right. And why don't we do that? Because then we're going to find ourselves again at the end of the Shemoneh Esrei, saying, where was I for the last 5 minutes? So you daven again. Halavai 5 minutes for the last minute and 37 seconds. So you daven again. Because then this time you have to do it right when you daven again. Matzah daito meshebashas v'libo tarud asol al-espral al-ashi yisyashiv daito. And if you can't focus, don't daven. Meaning if you're not focused, so wait. Get yourself focused. Pull yourself together. And then daven. And he goes on to say that, therefore, if you're very tired, it's the end of a long day, so don't go to the first minyan for Maariv. Wait till you calm yourself down, and then daven Maariv a little bit. Good. So the Rambam says very clearly, without kavana, it is zero. It's not a tefillah. And then the Rambam writes in Perek Yud of Hilchas Tefillah, source number 12, Misha espalo velo kiven eslibo, yachsor v'yespalo bekavana, v'im kiven eslibo bebracha rishona shoveno tzarech. As long as you had kavana bebracha rishona in that first bracha Shemoneh Esrei, you're good. You don't have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei. As long as you got one bracha, but wait, there are 18. They're really 19. But there are 19 brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. One bracha, that's all you need. Kavana for one bracha, and the rest, it's okay. It's okay if you were off in some other world for the rest of the time. You don't have to repeat it. So which is it? So says Reb Chaim brilliantly. He says there are two different types of kavana. And let's not even call them both kavana, because that will get confusing. Let's call one of them kavana and one of them havana. Kavana means what I'm intending to do, what I'm thinking about trying to do. Havana, with a hey and a vase, havana is, do I understand what I am saying? You could have a person who's fervently religious, full of Yerushalayim, and davens with a passion and a bren, and when you look at the person's face, you know that that person is talking to God. But that person, and he is, and he's sincere, but he has no clue what the words that he is saying mean. He has no idea what those words mean. He's having kavana, he's intending to talk to God, he's intending to daven, but havana, actual understanding of the translation of the words, he doesn't have any of that. You could have havana without kavana. A person wants to study for his Hebrew exam, so he wants to study all the words of Hebrew. So he opens up his siddur and starts studying the words. But he's not thinking that he's actually davening to Hashem. Well, he has havana, he understands what those words mean, but he has no kavana, he's not thinking that he's talking to God. Says the Rambam, says Reb Chaim rather, beautifully. If a person doesn't have in mind that he's talking to Hashem, that he's omed l'fnei ha'makom, that he's standing in front of the Ribono Shel Olam, that's not called tefillah without kavana. That's not a tefillah. The very definition of tefillah is that you're standing in front of God. Now, what you do when you're standing in front, exactly how you formulate your words, and whether you understand all the words, that's a different story. But at the basic premise of tefillah is that you're standing in front of God. So says Reb Chaim, when the Rambam says in Perek Dalet Halacha Tesvav that Kol tfila she'eina bikavana, eina tfila. A tfila that is done without kavana is not a tfila. He's talking about the kavana that you're doing the mitzvah of davening, of talking to Hashem, that you're standing in front of God. But when he talks about someone who doesn't daven with kavana, as long as he had kavana the first bracha, that's good enough. That's talking about havana, not kavana. If you understood what the words of the first bracha meant, good enough. As long as the rest of davening, you at least understood that you were standing in front of Hashem. You don't have to understand what the words mean. So it's eye-opening, because we use the word kavana and we throw it around, but really there are two different concepts. There's the concept of, when we're dealing with words, there's the concept of kavana, that I'm trying to do the mitzvah, and the concept of havana, that I understand what's going on. What about Besfiras HaOmer? What's the halacha by other mitzvahs and Besfiras HaOmer? Do you need kavana and do you need havana? So when it comes to other mitzvahs, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that when it comes to, let's say, Kriya Shema, Shulchan Aruch paskins that by Kriya Shema you need kavana. Not havana, kavana. You need to intend to accept upon yourself Ol Malchus Shemayim and to intend that you're doing the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. You have to have in mind that this is for the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. You need kavana. Mitzvos tzrichos kavana, Shulchan Aruch paskins in Aruch Chaim Simin Samach. Good. What about by Sfiras HaOmer? Do you need kavana? Do you need to intend to be doing the mitzvah? So one of the most well-known halachas in Hilchos Sfiras HaOmer, I think I mentioned it last week also, someone comes over to you, let's say right now, you haven't davened Maariv yet, and says, what night of Sfira is it tonight? So we all know, don't answer what night tonight is. Only answer what night last night was. Why? Because when I answer what night of Sfira it is tonight, what am I doing? I'm doing the mitzvah. And if I'm doing the mitzvah right now, I'm not going to be able to say a bracha on the mitzvah at Maariv, or after Maariv later on. But wait a second. Why is that called I'm doing the mitzvah? You asked me what night it is. I'm not trying to do the mitzvah. I'm not intending to do the mitzvah. I'm not having any kavana to do the mitzvah. I'm just trying to be a nice person and answer your question without being so cryptic, like I'm trying to get the guy to turn the light on Shabbos. You know, to tell you that what yesterday was. I just want to answer you straight up. So why is that? There's no kavana there. Apparently, by Sfiras HaOmer, mitzvos ain't srichos kavana. So here you have two mitzvos, Kriya Shema on the one hand, Sfiras HaOmer on the other hand. They're both word mitzvos. There's no action, it's just words. And yet by Kriya Shema, you need kavana. By Sfiras HaOmer, you don't need kavana. That's difference number one between Sfira and other mitzvos. Why is it? So the Achronim are perplexed by this. The Prima Gadim says, no, what really the reason is we're just not sure. We're not sure whether mitzvah strichs kavana or not. So we're just machmir in all cases. So by Kriya Shema, the chumra is to say, make sure you have kavana. And by Sfiras HaOmer, the chumra is to say what night last night was. And that way it's just a chumra. We're machmir because we're not sure what to do. That's one approach, to just say that we're not sure. Or you could say that really mitzvah strichos kavana, but Sfiras HaOmer is we're just extra careful about an extra machmir on because you might as well to avoid a bracha levatala. Or maybe the Magen Avraham writes by Kriya Shema to mitzvah daraisa, mitzvah daraisa you need kavana, but Sfiras HaOmer is only mitzvah drabanan, so maybe mitzvah drabanan you don't need kavana. These are all possibilities, but at least the problem is there. And the Chak Yaakov, one of the commentators on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, says, yeah, you know what the answer is? Sfiras HaOmer, he says, is just a Sfira Bialma. It's a mere counting. That's why you don't need Kavana for Sfiras HaOmer. What does that mean? And Kriya Shema is a mere accepting God's, you know, sovereignty and yoke of heaven. So why would Kriya Shema need Kavana Sfira not? So there's an issue. There's clearly a problem that all the Achronim bothered by. That there's a difference between Sfira and other mitzvos of Dibur. Why is it that Sfira does not need Kavana, other mitzvos do? And what about Havana? What about understanding? Let's say a person comes to do the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer and he just doesn't know, what the Hebrew words that of the Sfira actually mean. He opens up the Siddur, and the Siddur has a whole list of days over here, of numbers, but he's not familiar with the Hebrew number system. So it's the let's say it's the the first 10 he's okay, but let's say it's already the 16th night of the Omer. So he doesn't know Hayom Shisha Asur Yom Shem Shnei Shavuos Shnei Yamim means that it's 16 days and two, which is 2 weeks and 2 days. But he knows that's what the Chazan just said, so that's what he's going to say because he knows that's what he's supposed to say. Does he get the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer? He's having kavanah. He's trying to do the mitzvah of Sfira. He's reading from the Siddur to do the mitzvah of Sfira. He just has no idea what the words mean. Does he get the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer? So the post can point out, fascinating, Magen Avraham says, absolutely not. No mitzvah of Sfira if you don't get it, if you don't understand it. What about by other mitzvahs? Let's say you bench, and you don't know what benching means. There might be a Jew or two out there. Benches sometimes, doesn't know what the words of benching mean. Do you get the mitzvah birchas hamazon? You say kiddush. You don't know exactly what the words mean. You know the concept. You know that benching is thanking Hashem for the bread, and you know that kiddush is basically being mekadesh Shabbos, sanctifying Shabbos. You get it, but you don't know what those words mean. You don't have havana. Are you yotze? So Pashto says, yeah. Sure you're yotze. So here's difference number two between Sfiras HaOmer and other mitzvahs of Dibur. For some reason, when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, Kavana, not so important. Havana, understanding what you're saying, yeah, critical. Yet when it comes to other mitzvahs, Kavana, critical. Kriya Shema, need to have Kavana. Havana, knowing what you're saying, not so critical. As long as you say it in Hebrew, it's not so critical. Saying it in another language, post can point out, that could be a problem. If you're saying it in another language and you don't know what you're talking about. Like, I happen to not speak French, so if I were to say Kriya Shema in French, so that's a waste of time. That's a nothing. But if I say it in Hebrew, even if I don't speak Hebrew, I'm Yotze when it comes to Birchas HaMazon, but I'm not Yotze when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer. Why? Why is there a difference between the Kavana and the Havana? A third difference between Sfiras HaOmer and other mitzvahs of Dibur. Rabbi Akiva Eger got married once. I think only once. Chassam Sofer, his son-in-law, got married three times. But Chassam Sofer was Rabbi Akiva Eger's son-in-law, I believe, in Chassam Sofer's second marriage. He was Rabbi Akiva Eger's son-in-law. There was a 1.5-year age difference between the Chassam Sofer and Rabbi Akiva Eger. So they were, it was a father-in-law, son-in-law relationship, but they were very, very close in age, and they wrote a lot of tshuvas back and forth to each other. Very fascinating, phenomenal rabbinic family. So the Rabbi Akiva Eger, when he got married, apparently at the rabbi's table at his wedding, which I would imagine was like every table at his wedding, his uncle, Rav Wolf Eger, was carrying on a conversation with other people, and it happened to have been around the time of Sfira, and they were discussing, it used to be that people would write letters. It doesn't happen anymore. It used to be that that people would write, that when you opened up the mail, it wasn't just junk and bills. It used to be that sometimes there would be a letter from someone and it was meaningful. So on the top of the letter, they would often date the letter. Now, the minhag was, the practice was, if you're writing a letter during the period of Sfiras HaOmer, you would date the day of Sfira that it was. You wouldn't just say what day of the month it was. You would say on what month it is and what year it is. You would actually say which day of Sfira it is on your letter. You see tshuvas. You open up any tshuva sefer. Any tshuva written during Sfiras HaOmer says what night of Sfira it was in the letter. Let's say you forgot to count Sfira, but you wrote a letter that night. So you wrote down the Sfiras HaOmer. Are you yotze the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer b'ksiva? Just by writing the Sfira. There's one yotze the mitzvah. This was the big debate at the rabbi's table, or the relative's table, or whatever, at Rabbi Akiva Eger's wedding. And Rabbi Akiva Eger gets this tshuva from his uncle, a whole long tshuva, lamdus like you wouldn't believe, going through all the tzadim, whether we would say ksiva kedibur, writing is just as good as speaking when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer. And Rabbi Akiva Eger writes back, also, showing his koach, I can't believe I was so excited you came to my wedding and you brought so much simcha and the simchas haTorah, and I don't know why you're so excited for me, I'm a nobody, but, turns out he's not a nobody, he's Rabbi Akiva Eger. So a whole given back and forth about whether you yotze with the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer with ksiva. What about other mitzvahs of Dibur? Are you yotze, well, Kiddush would be a bad example, I guess, right? Are you yotze benching if you just write the benching? So it seems that when it comes to other mitzvahs, there's really no big discussion of ksiva. Ksiva may be Our Shulchan points out by Eidos, there's a discussion in the Gemara whether Ksiva Kedibur or not. If you write your Eidos instead of saying your Eidos testimony, because it's about getting the information out there. When you say Kriya Shema, it's not about getting the information out there. Nobody knew that there was a God. I have to tell everyone, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's not really what it's about. It's about a person doing a mitzvah. So the mitzvah is to say it, the mitzvah is not to write it. So what's this whole to do by Sfiras Omer? Maybe you are, maybe you're not. By other mitzvahs of Dibur, you're definitely not. Writing it just doesn't count. You're definitely not Yotzei. So all of a sudden you need a Rebbe Kiveger or a Volf Eger to write 4 pages worth of tshuvas and make my Mar Mekomos 4 pages longer. Just so that we could discuss this issue. Seems a little bit strange. So that's a third difference. Whether one is Yotzei with writing. And a fourth difference. There is a concept in Kala Tarukula, by all mitzvah, most mitzvahs of Dibur, shouldn't say Kala Tarukula, called Shomea Ka'ona. When we sit around the Shabbos table, we don't all have to make Kiddush. One person makes Kiddush, everyone else listens, and everyone's Yotzei the mitzvah of Kiddush from the one person who actually says the Kiddush. That's the concept of Shomea Ka'ona. And this works for lots and lots of mitzvahs. Lots of mitzvahs that involve speech. You could do it with a Haggadah, as long as you make sure that the people saying the Haggadah are Bar Chiyuva. So someone who's a Bar Chiyuva to say the Haggadah could say the whole Haggadah. You don't even have to say it, you can just listen. Shomea Ka'ona. In Shulchan Aruch it says that's really the way benching is supposed to be done. That when one person leads benching, it's not just that he mumbles the last line of the paragraph. He would actually say the whole thing out loud, and everyone else would just sit there silently and listen to the benching. But we're not such good listeners anymore, so that's why we all say benching ourselves, because if we're not actively involved, forget it, we'll be gone in a second. So, but really, Shomea Ka'ona works. What about by Sfiras HaOmer? Does Shomea Ka'ona work by Sfiras HaOmer? To just hear it and not say it. Meaning, I don't want to count the Omer tonight, I just want to listen to the Chazan, let's say. So the Chazan will count the Omer, I'll listen, I'll be Yotzei. Will that work for Sfiras HaOmer? So there is a group of poskim that say that when the Gemara says you need Sfira l'kol echad v'yachad, that Sfira needs to be done by everybody. You know what the Gemara is telling me? Not just that it's not a mitzvah in Beis Din, and that it's a mitzvah in each and every one of us. No, the Gemara is telling me even more than that. That I can't be Yotzei with Shomea Ka'ona. I can't be Yotzei by listening to somebody else do the mitzvah. Every other mitzvah of Dibur, every other mitzvah that just involves words, I can. Shomea Ka'ona works. Sfira Somer, for some reason, it doesn't. Why not? So again, 4 differences. Difference number 1, Kavana. When it comes to Kriya Shema, you need Kavana. Sfira Somer, for some reason, you don't. Difference number 2, Havana. When it comes to benching and Kriya Shema, all these other mitzvahs, you don't need to understand the words. Sfira Somer, you do need to understand the words. Difference number 3, Ksiva. If I write Sfira Somer, when it comes to all the other mitzvahs of Dibur, Ksiva is not saying, you're not Yotzei the mitzvah. Sfira Somer, you need a Rebbe Kiveger to discuss it for 4 pages. And difference number 4 is when it comes to Shomea Ka'ona. Every other mitzvah, we could have Shomea Ka'ona, for some reason Sfira Somer we can't. So let's go back to what we started with. What makes Sfira Somer unique? Sfira Somer is a different kind of mitzvah because it's not a mitzvah like matzah and like sukkah where there's a personal responsibility, I just have to do the mitzvah and that's my job. There is a goal that we have to have in mind in Sfira Somer. See, Sfira Somer is supposed to accomplish something beyond just the action of the mitzvah itself. Sfira Somer makes shavuos shavuos. Without Sfira Somer, we cannot be Mekadesh, the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Shavuos doesn't happen without Sfira. So there are 2 different types of mitzvahs. There's Maisa-oriented mitzvahs, a mitzvah that we're focused on the action, and then there are mitzvahs where we're focused on the goal. I'll give you an example. There's a mitzvah to build a Maka al Gagecha, to put a fence around your roof. You have to make a fence around your roof. Let's say you hire a guy to build the fence around your roof. Yotzei the mitzvah? What do you think? Yotzei the mitzvah if I hire a guy? Absolutely. For sure I'm Yotzei the mitzvah. I have a fence around my roof. If I ask a guy to do any other mitzvah for me, if I make a guy a shliach to be Mekadesh and Isha for me, does it work? Absolutely not. I make Goy Shlich do any, pretty much any mitzvah. It doesn't work. Why? What's the difference? Because when I'm making a makal gagecha, it's not about taking the hammer and nails or however you make a fence. I don't even know how. But it's not about the act of making the fence. It's about having the fence at the end of the day. It's about accomplishing a goal. There are goal-oriented mitzvahs and there are maisa-oriented mitzvahs. Another example. Eating kadshim. When it comes to eating karbanos, there's a mitzvah of eating Karban Pesach. You know what that means? That each and every Jew has to have a kezayis of Karban Pesach. Beis Halevi points out, this is fundamentally different than eating every other karban. Every other karban, you don't have to eat a kezayis, you just need to make sure it gets eaten up. So if you have 1,000 friends to share it with, and each of you gets one teeny little bite, that's fine, as long as it all gets eaten up. Why the difference? Because by Karban Pesach, the mitzvah is the maisa of eating it. By other karbanos, the mitzvah is, just make sure it gets done. Make sure it gets eaten. Sfiras HaOmer is different than every other mitzvah that involves words, because every other mitzvah of words is a mitzvah that's on the Maisa. It's an action-oriented mitzvah. Do this. Say Shema, you're Yotzei the mitzvah. Say Kiddush, you're Yotzei the mitzvah. Sfiras HaOmer is make it so that we can have Shavuos. Do this system of counting so that you can have Shavuos. And that might explain all four chilukim. When it comes to Kavana, maybe Kavana is so necessary by the other mitzvahs because Kavana gives meaning to the Maisa. It gives meaning to the action that I am doing right now because it's an intentional action. But when we don't care about the action as much as what that action is accomplishing, well then maybe Kavana doesn't really matter that much. And therefore by Sfiras HaOmer, maybe Kavana is not so important. But if Sfiras HaOmer is meant to try to accomplish a goal, the only way that goal is accomplished is if we actually know that we're counting in a sequence. So we have to know that those numbers add up. It's a Sfira B'Alma, in the words of the Chok Yaakov, but those numbers have to add up in order to accomplish getting to Shavuos. When I'm not trying to accomplish anything with my mitzvah, so then I don't need to have Havana. But by Sfira, I need to have Havana. And when it comes to Ksiva and Shomea Ka'ona, just to say it briefly, once we're going to say that it's a different kind of mitzvah, it's no wonder that the gedarim of the mitzvah might be a little bit different. That the gedar of what's called the maisa, when the focus is the maisa, might be a little different than the gedar, than the definitions and the parameters of what's called the maisa, when the focus is the totzah, when the focus is going to be the result. So again, four differences between Sfiras HaOmer and other mitzvahs, but perhaps it could all be answered based on that one idea that Sfiras HaOmer is about making the Yom Tov of Shavuos.